Okay, political commentators are working overtime in the countdown to the presidential election, and so are political comedians, especially the impersonators. NPR's Elizabeth Blair takes a closer look at the rich tradition of presidential impersonation.
Seems like you can't have an election without impersonators.
And I can see Russia from my house.
Yada, yada, yada.
Vote for me. I'm Ross Perot. I'm running for president. Vote for me, please.
Feel like going jogging tonight. In the nude.
I sign these letters. I don't get them.
But if you go back further, you wouldn't find much. Impersonating the president was a no-no. Take the time when Will Rogers announced on his radio show that President Calvin Coolidge was about to make some remarks.
Everybody believed that the next voice they heard was that of Calvin Coolidge.
Peter Robinson wrote a book about political comedy.
And he had to go on the air within days and completely clear the air, as it were.
Will Rogers also apologized to Coolidge. In the 1930s, the White House officially came out against mimicking the president on the air. But the climate changed in 1962 with this comedy album.
All right, Nourish, move ahead with your question.
Well, there seems to be some confusion as to the toys to be taken into the bathtub.
The First Family starred Von Meter impersonating President John F. Kennedy.
Nine of the P.T. Balch, one of the Yogi Bear Beach Balch, and the two Howdy Doody plastic bouncing clowns are Baby John's. The rubbish one is mine.
Some people, including White House officials, were not amused. But pretty quickly, it became a huge hit, selling some 6 million copies in the first 6 weeks of its release. Then, a year later, JFK was assassinated.
It did evaporate very quickly. Americans just had no stomach for the imitation of a dead president.
But Robinson, who teaches history at the College of Mount St. Joseph, says Von Meter and his writers threw open the door.
The tremendous success of the First Family proved that the American public was willing to entertain the thought of presidential impersonation.
Good thing, too, for people like Rich Little and Dana Carvey. Presidents have given them some of their biggest hits.
We got a regulatory issue here. We got to regulate that. We're going to get more bubbles. Mm-hmm. Going to get bigger, larger. Then pop, money goes to the weasels.
Now, when Barack Obama ran for president the first time, he posed a bit of a challenge, says Bill Carter of the New York Times.
I went around to a lot of the comedy writers for late night shows, and I said, what is the comedy take on this guy? And they were like, it was driving them crazy because they didn't have one. It's obvious what the take is on Clinton. You know, he's a sexual hound, right? Or Bush was sort of a bumbling idiot. You find this theme about a guy.
Even Saturday Night Live struggled to find the right Barack Obama. The first comedian to try him was Fred Armisen, who's not black.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. I am speaking to you tonight from Europe, and as you probably heard, they all went nuts for me.
Fred was doing the character, he was doing his cadence of his voice, but he wasn't making much fun of him. And that you have to make fun of him to work.
Bill Carter thinks part of the problem was that Armisen played it too safe. This season, Saturday Night Live introduced a new president, played by black comedian Jay Farrow.
So in love with you.
So I think it's kind of interesting that they've shifted at Saturday Night Live to a black performer. And I think it frees them up more.
Let's get something straight right now. I'm not your friend.
Yeah, and I'm not yours either, Sparky.
That's Jason Sudeikis impersonating Governor Mitt Romney.
By the way, hey, what's your salary as president?
$400,000. $400,000. So yeah, I mean, what's the deal?
$400,000. Yeah, that's what I pay my cats, okay?
Mr. Romney is also a tough one, says Peter Robinson, because physically he doesn't lend himself to caricature. Sudeikis relies a lot on a beady-eyed stare.
His ability to look like Romney as the man who tries to project, a sense of averageness.
You know, people think I'm fancy, but I like nothing more than to end the day with one of these fine hamburger sandwiches from the good people at the McDonald's.
During the last campaign, two comedians figured out a way to do a completely different kind of impersonation, and it takes both of them.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. With me, as always, is my anger translator, Luther.
Hi.
On Comedy Central, Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key came up with a comedy hook that operates on a whole other level. Peele, as President Obama, sits in his chair looking calm and unflappable. Key, as his anger translator, Luther, flails his arms, paces back and forth, unleashing Mr. Obama's inner thoughts.
After the last debate, I was criticized for not showing enough emotion.
I should have been on that stage. Oh, my God, Mitt. If I was a Siberian tiger, your ass would have been Roy. Straight up.
They came up with this presidential alter ego subconscious spectacle because they never saw Mr. Obama get angry, says Jordan Peele.
Luther is the id, you know, the thing that all of Obama's supporters are thinking, and I think a lot of other people as well, but goes unsaid.
Key and Peele's impersonation has gotten a lot of attention. Even the president has commented about it, and Key and Peele got to meet him.
Well, he said, first of all, he said, you know, I need Luther. I need a Luther. But it was bananas.
As thrilling as it was to meet the president, Jordan Peele admits this hasn't been the best year for impersonations.
You know, last time we had Sarah Palin, who came in and just, as far as comedy is concerned and excitement, she's the grand slam.
The American people are angry, and John McCain is angry, too. And you can tell he's angry by the way he sighs and grits his teeth, and he's always going like, grrr!
Without Tina Fey's Sarah Palin, there is, says Jordan Peele, a campaign comedy vacuum. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Although there is still the unintentional humor of the campaign itself. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.